Well, good morning, church. Today we are concluding our three-week mini-series that we've been in called Our Church on Mission. And if you haven't been journeying with us, our first week we reviewed what it means to be a covenant church. And we talked about the six covenant affirmations, that we affirm the centrality of the Word of God, the necessity of the new birth, the whole mission of the church as a fellowship of believers, a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit, and the reality of freedom in Christ. I'm so relieved I had that memorized. Whew! Anybody else have that down yet? Thank you. So we reviewed the covenant affirmations. And then last week we talked about our church's founding, that we were founded in South Wheaton when all around us was farmland, there was no neighborhoods, and that this was planted as a missionary enterprise as a community to reach the community that would be coming in. And we talked about our church's new phrase to describe our mission statement. And I'm going to help you out because, Ben, you need some help with getting our motions right. So we learned some motions. So kids and adults, we have kids in the room with us. So we talked about our new statement as connecting people. So we connect. Then we make L's for life, to life, in Christ, and community. Now let's say that out loud and do the motions, okay? Connecting people to life, in Christ, and community. You guys are beautiful. You got it. How do we accomplish that mission? How do we do that? How do we connect people to life in Christ and community? Well, I would suggest to you that it's a lot like building a house. It's building a spiritual house. This is what 1 Peter is talking about. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 12. And the verse that I want to begin with highlighting is verse 5. Peter talks about this, living stones, you're being built into a spiritual house. Actually, I like how the NRSV puts it. I'll put that on the screen for you, if we can. And are we good? You guys got it? No, I'll just tell you while it's being waited. We're waiting for it to be pulled up. But it's translated as, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Now, I'm guessing Peter never forgot what Jesus told him when he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." That was a foundational identity for Peter. He says, "Jesus, what is Jesus doing? I'm building my church on this rock." And then Peter is saying, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. He's reminding us that Jesus is the one who is building his church. He's connecting people to himself, the living stone. And like us, we're living stones. We're living rocks connected to the rock and on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. You know, it could be so much easier just to say, you know what, I'm going to try to do this Jesus thing on my own. It's me and Jesus. Like, being a part of a church can be hard. It can be difficult. You have to forgive people. You have to work with people. You have to give time and money and energy, all these things. Man, some ways it could be so much easier just to say, you know what, I'm just going to follow Jesus on my own. But friends, I invite you to resist the temptation to give up the habit of meeting together. To resist the temptation to isolation and individualism, to remember that Jesus is building us, building you into a spiritual house, a spiritual family. So how do we build this spiritual house? Or rather, how do we cooperate with Jesus, who is building us into a spiritual house together? Now, as Ben mentioned, as a church, we have four mission priorities, and I want you to picture them as the four walls of this sanctuary. We have four walls that are building this spiritual house. Worship always, connect intentionally, grow continuously, reach lovingly. So I'm going to invite you to think about the first wall as this back wall. Number one, worship always. Number one is worship always. Going back to verse 5, like living stones, you're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, Peter's drawing upon the old covenant metaphor that when you came into the temple, people came into the presence of God and they brought sacrifices. They brought these sacrifices as an offering of worship, as confession of sin, as an act of fellowship with God, communion in his presence, and thanksgiving to God for all that God had done for them. And this is what we do in the new covenant as well. As a spiritual house, as a spiritual priesthood, we get to come together and offer God our acts of worship through Jesus Christ. And we begin with this statement on worship because we believe worship should be at the heartbeat of all that we are as believers in Jesus and also of all that we do as a church together as well. Why? Because worship is our response. Worship is our response to God's goodness and love and mercy. It's our response to the gospel that we were just singing about. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God forgiving all your sins, in view of God sending Jesus to die on the cross for you, in view of that, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We worship as a response. Praising God, this grateful worship we saw, that also it characterized the gatherings of the early church as well. Let me put Colossians 3 up on the screen for you. Great, okay, awesome. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Clearly this singing and praising God is part of what it means to be the church and to gather as believers in his name. It's why we dedicate time to doing this together every week. Now, we're going to talk about how worship is also way more than that. You know, the statement is worship always. But also, sometimes I think we can give, like, the singing part of worship, like, a bad rap of, like, well, don't you know, remember that worship is way more than just singing. Like, almost like we're sidelining singing. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir because we have an actual choir in our church. But singing is a really important part of worship. We have the book of Psalms, which they sang. There's a whole part of the Bible that's all about singing to God. We have this in Colossians 3. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Through what? Through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. This is part of our formation. But we don't let it pause there. And again, the very next verse expands it. Let's see what it says. Can we read this aloud together? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, worship always. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we sing, we worship, we praise, but we also take that into whatever we do as a church and as individuals. And finally, to quote from our church value statement here, it says, at the center of life in Christ is a lifestyle of worship. We begin each week gathered in worship, the heartbeat of our life together. We leave equipped to worship throughout the week in our homes, workplaces, and neighborhoods. So that's our first wall. Worship always. Now we're gonna say this wall over here is number two. Connect intentionally. I don't know why, but we're just going to go with that. Connect intentionally. Intentional connection, this is part of who we are as a church. This is part of our church culture. And it should be, as that is what we are called to do as a spiritual house. Let yourself be built into a spiritual house. So the Apostle Peter is using this metaphor, but Paul uses it as well. And when Paul and Peter are saying the same thing, maybe we should pay attention. So look at this from Ephesians. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together spiritually, into a dwelling place for God. Isn't that amazing? We're being built, we're growing into a dwelling place for God. We are now the temple of God. Can you think of it? Can you conceive of that? It is an amazing, amazing thing that we're a part of. The structure must be built. We must let ourselves be built into this spiritual house. The early founders of our church, they decided that bricks would be an important part of our corporate identity. Now, I'm going to quote from our own Mark Torgerson that you can read in his great pamphlet available at our community hub about the art and architecture of our building. And he did a lot of work on this, and he writes that brick was a primary material for the walls of the church. When clay bricks are fired in a kiln, some bricks are exposed to uneven heat and experience minor damage. They may emerge discolored or even misshapen. Sometimes these bricks are called clinker bricks. Clinker bricks were chosen by our congregation as a primary building material, in part because their appearance is less uniform in coloring and character. For us, they became representative of the ordinary, less than perfect people of our congregation, chosen to fulfill kingdom work. Well said. Actually, in case you can't really see from all the bricks around you, actually, I brought a clinker brick right here. And you can kind of tell that it's worn, it's scarred, it's not uniform. You can tell it looks worn. This one's been outside, so it's a little bit more worn than the ones that you see here. But in the older days, in the older times, not when the time the church was built, but in the older times, these were the bricks that were thrown away because of this misshapenness, because of this scarring. But it reminds us that you can take bricks like this and build this beautiful sanctuary we worship in. In the same way, God takes us, who are less than perfect, who are broken, who are worn, maybe scarred from difficult things in your life. But when we come together as the church, we let Jesus build something beautiful. We become a spiritual house in the Lord together. God takes us, ordinary, imperfect, scarred and broken people, and builds a spiritual family. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, amen? We are created for this community. We are created for this love. We are designed to be in these loving relationships in Christ's body, his bride, his people, his treasured possession. Earlier in the letter, Peter says, have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. Part of how we love one another is this being intentional to connect with others, to greet others by name, to learn names. Man, that'd be a miracle for some people. To practice hospitality. Friends, I think I am convinced that some of the best things happening in our church are things that you never see. It's the meals in homes. It's the gatherings for a birthday. It's texting someone to come over for a game night. It's sending out prayer requests and praises. It's community groups gathering and reading scripture together. It's caring for people in practical ways. It's making a meal and taking it over. It's getting together for coffee or a walk with someone and just being that intentional, loving presence for a brother and sister in Christ. Those are things that you'll never see in the sanctuary. But those are some of the most important things about being a church together. That intentional connection. And friends, I get it. It's hard. It's hard in our day and age to be intentional with our relationships. We're all so busy. We all got a lot of things going on, a lot of things competing for our time and our attention. We have phones and TVs to distract us and all kinds of things. Friends, I implore you to be intentional. To be intentional to connect with others in the body of Christ. If you're someone who is naturally an inviter, praise God for that gift. That is a wonderful gift. I implore you to keep using it. Even when people turn down your invitation, keep inviting. Don't get discouraged, because it's truly a gift to offer to someone else. If you're someone who's maybe not naturally an inviter, I would invite you to grow a little bit. But I would also invite you to remember that when you do get an invitation, remember that that is a precious gift. It takes effort, it takes courage, it takes time to extend that invitation to others. And so when you receive that, I try to say yes. If one of you are inviting me for dinner, I try to say yes if I'm able. Because I know that is a gift. It's a gift to be offered that invitation. So I encourage you, think about inviting and think about receiving invitation. It starts on Sunday morning. It starts by being intentional in this space, getting to know one another. But then it extends throughout into our weeks. I'll quote from our church value statements. It says, church is more than a service to attend. It's a community where you're known, loved, and connected to each other and to life in Christ. Meaningful relationships don't happen by accident. They are built through intentional connection, shared experiences, and spiritual growth. Whether it's through community groups, shared meals, church retreats, or just being present, we walk through life together with purpose and with faith. So we have worship always, intentional connection. Am I right? Grow continuously. Now, let's go back to the first part of 1 Peter 2. It says, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, in some other passages of Scripture, sometimes the spiritual milk idea has like a negative connotation, like, well, you're not really mature enough for the solid food, so I'm going to give you milk. That's really doesn't seem to be what Peter is saying here. His point is something different. He's saying all of us, all of you, be like a newborn baby and crave spiritual milk, crave spiritual nourishment, desire, cry out for that which nourishes you in your walk with the Lord. This comes in many forms: prayer, scripture, song, worship, hearing teaching, preaching, communion, nature, Sabbath, all kinds of things. But friends, we should be a spiritual house that desires, that craves this spiritual nourishment. Why should we crave this? Peter says, so that by this you may grow up in your salvation. You crave this so you grow up in your salvation. And then Peter says, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. It's like he's reminding them, hey, you already know how good God is. You already know how good the Lord is. You've tasted this before. You know how good it is when you're lost in worship. You know how good it is when God speaks to you through his word. You know how good it is to rest in his presence. You've tasted that before. Don't forget how good it is to be in the presence of God, in the presence of believers, and be nourished by that. This is what's going to bring you true joy and peace. This is what truly restores your soul and gives you rest. This is what satisfies. So crave this spiritual nourishment. Grow continuously. And I think it's amazing that this word comes to us, as Ben mentioned, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, no matter if you're young and a kid up here or whether you're a senior saint. It's like Peter is humbling us. All of y'all, be like a newborn baby. Be like a newborn baby. That's what you're supposed to be like. Start over from the beginning again. In fact, friends, those of us who are a little bit on the younger side, I'm going to include myself in that. We have some great senior saints among us. Amen. I am always marveled at some of our folks. They're in Faith Academy, learning new theology and things about the Bible. They're reading immersed, like you're reading Scripture in a new way that you've never done. And you've been following Jesus for decades, but you're willing to try new things and keep growing. Thank you. Thank you for modeling that for us. It's a lifelong journey. And friends, remember, God's nourishment does not run out. You might think, I've already had enough. I've learned this. I've heard this before. Friends, it's not about the head knowledge when we talk about growth. It's about this life in Christ. It's about being nourished by him continually. It's those new mercies that we need every morning. Lord, refresh me, renew me, speak to me. And we need that continually all our life long. again, to quote from our value statement here, says, life in Christ is a lifelong journey of transformation. We grow together by equipping everyone to serve, offering biblical and theological education, and preparing each person to be faithful stewards of their time, talents, and resources. We also encourage ongoing spiritual formation through prayer and scripture. Worship always, connect intentionally, grow continuously, and reach lovingly. I'm making that wall as you go out. We reach out with the love of Christ. Now, Peter, he's already called us this royal priesthood. What an amazing privilege. We are God's holy people, his holy nation. And as God's priests, the priests, you know, mediate the presence of God to the world. And God's people, they've always been called to be holy, to be different, to stand out as a witness to God's character and his goodness. And we have the same identity today. And then Peter adds a little bit more. He says in verse 11, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, remember, you're not from here. You're a citizen of a different nation. As foreigners and exiles, abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Again, it's amazing to me. It's like Peter has just like memorized and imbibed everything Jesus like told him. Because he's like saying basically the same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, right? When Jesus said, let your light shine before all people, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And now Peter is saying the same thing. Let the people around you see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. What a great model Peter is for us. He's preaching what Jesus was preaching. You might call this lifestyle evangelism. It involves having good character. Yes, abstaining from sinful desires, which is a battle. It's a war we fight. But our witness goes beyond our good character. It also extends to our good deeds. We let our light shine. We let our good deeds shine before others that they might glorify God. So that's why we say, reach lovingly, reach out with the love of Christ, do good deeds in his name. And then also, beyond that, we hope for the opportunity to share the good news with them as well. We hopefully represent them with good character, good deeds, and good news. We want to declare the praises or the excellencies of him who's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Again, our church statement says this. Our life in Christ compels us to reach others with the love of Christ. Rooted in the vision of our founding in 1966, we continue to connect our diverse community around us to life in Christ and community. We equip people to share their faith, facilitate ministries that serve our community, and partner with others, both locally and globally, to extend the kingdom of God. So, brothers and sisters, we are a spiritual house. We're a spiritual family. We are connecting people to life in Christ and community. How are we doing that? By worshiping always, intentionally connecting, growing continuously, reaching lovingly. You know, as you enter our sanctuary, you'll see that there is artwork made by Angela Broman that has these four words in shorthand on it. It says, worship, connect, grow, reach. And it was actually made upon the old parquet flooring that was the floor of this sanctuary. And so it symbolizes that these are the foundational priorities of our church. Worship, connect, grow, and reach. So let yourself be reminded of that as you come in to this space. Let yourself be built into a spiritual house. As I conclude, maybe the Lord might highlight something for you. What is one step you could take to let yourself be built into the spiritual house that God is building among us? Friends, may God help us do this. May God help us connect people to life in Christ and community. May he help us build on these priorities and reach out to our community with the love of Christ. Amen.